Lorna Butler is our life coach from PDC Coaching, and she joins me in studio. Good morning to you. Lovely to see you again, Lorna. You were just saying to me off air there that wouldn't it be nice to have somebody work alongside the GPs who could provide this sort of care and this sort of advice for people, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when it comes to supporting people outside of the medical space, obviously we have the therapeutic space as well, but somebody who mightn't necessarily need therapy and is under the care of their doctor just might need somebody to look at how they're thinking, look at their mindset, look at what they're doing, how to take responsibility for what's happening. So yeah, I think it'd be a great opportunity to work with them.
All right. Are you putting your hand up and saying...
Hands up, yeah.
Willing. Barkus is willing.
Absolutely. Willing. I have a willingness to do it.
Well, last time we spoke, you promised to speak about procrastination. So you're going to fix me today. But first of all, tell us, what is procrastination?
Procrastination is such a common behaviour. And I suppose, ultimately, it's defined as where we start to postpone tasks that we feel might be a little bit difficult or a little bit overwhelming. Mm. But actually, what's happening is it's our emotional system. So what sits behind procrastination? Procrastination is behaviour. There's a huge amount of emotions that sit behind it. And they're the things that stop you from getting what you want to get done.
But just to be clear, it's not making that phone call. It's not confronting that person. Is that it? It's not doing a certain task until the very last minute.
Yeah.
Is that really what it is?
It's really like pushing out anything that you feel that you need to be doing, but you just can't get it, or you just can't go to it. And there's a couple of reasons why that is. And it's like, as I said, it's the emotional system kind of kicking in. Are you afraid of failing at that particular task? You know, are you bored? So is there a feeling of fear? Is there a feeling of anxiety around it? Are you a perfectionist? So you can't really start it until you know it's done perfectly. And this is what sits behind procrastination all the time. So in order to kind of move into the task, you really have to understand what's happening for you and what's sitting beneath it, you know.
Is it a personality thing?
Not necessarily. It's so common. I think everyone procrastinates now and again, whether you're introverted or extroverted. I think really what happens is it's the emotional system kicking in, as I've said. And when you're in tune with your emotions and when you're in tune with what's happening for you and the physical feelings in your body, you're more likely to be able to lean into that discomfort, because ultimately you're trying to keep yourself safe. So the discomfort and the anxiety that you're going to experience while trying to do a task that necessarily you don't want to do is going to stop you from doing it.
But it really harms you in the end. Certainly I can speak from personal experience on this, because you leave something to the last minute, which means that you're all stressed and you're all sort of up in a heap about it then at that point, instead of spreading it out over a period of time. And
absolutely. And I think it has such a physical impact on our overall well-being. I mean, if you think of the physical impacts of procrastination, where if you leave everything to the last minute, you're going to be, say, up all night, you're going to experience fatigue, chronic fatigue, you're going to experience exhaustion, burnout, and then you have the impact on relationships. You have, you know, if you've promised or committed to do something and you haven't done it in time, or you're not working through it, there's disappointment, there's frustration, there's strained relationships as well. So for overall health, well-being, procrastination is one of those things that we really need to get a handle on, and really need to sit with ourselves and understand what's happening beneath the surface for me that I can't lean into this task. And I would always say to people, that's the first place you need to start with procrastination. There is other tools that you can use and techniques that we can chat about, but fundamentally it comes back to the emotional system is overriding the logical thinking.
Right.
Because if you break it down logically, you know you need to do it. So you're like, I need to do this task. Why can't I just go and do it? But it's the emotions that are driving.
Well, these are the questions I ask all of the time, you see, where this is concerned. So is it possible as well to be procrastinating but not realise that you have a condition or something? Is that possible?
I mean, sometimes we don't even have the awareness that we have a procrastination tendency. Like, yes, the most obvious one is, you know, leaving things to the last minute. But also some of the other signs that you might be procrastinating is like struggling with prioritising tasks. So you don't know what to do and when to do it and all of that. And you feel like, you feel stress, you feel anxiety, you know, you're feeling those negative emotions, and you frequently engage in distractions. So like, you know, something else, like go on social media. Oh, I need to go for my walk. Oh, yes. I need to go to the shop, you know. Yes. So you can kind of constantly...
Anything to delay the inevitable, is that it?
Yeah. And it is. And it's your emotional system kind of pushing you out of the discomfort and back into safety and going, okay, it's safe to go for a walk, or it's safe to go to the shops and get dinner. I won't have to experience that discomfort. So it pulls you out of it. But really what you need to do is lean into it and figure out, well, what is it here? Is it, am I afraid of failing? Mm. Am I a perfectionist here? What's getting in the way? And then you start to break it down.
Okay. Mm. The other way it manifests for me is sometimes I find it very hard to answer the phone to somebody.
Okay.
You know, because I might have to deal with a conversation or something that I might find difficult. Or,
yeah.
You know? But all I'm doing is, because I will have to answer that phone
You'll have to ring them back.
So I don't know why I do this. Okay, so break down then how we can combat this.
Yeah, so with the phone call, generally what that's called is avoidance. So we're avoiding the discomfort in that moment.
Am I looking very uncomfortable now?
Yes, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And if you can feel it in your body, you're like, okay, I can't not answer the phone anymore. But right. So it's that avoidance of feeling that discomfort, whether someone's looking for you to do something or whether you have committed to doing something and you've yet to make progress on it and they're waiting for an update or whatever it is. There's a certain element of discomfort that you will experience by answering the phones. Therefore, the easiest thing to do is avoid it. And then again, you can bring it back to when it's on your own terms. So you choose to lean into the discomfort rather than it being placed upon you. So you get to choose when to ring the person back.
Okay, so there's
little techniques like that. Like obviously breaking tasks into really small bite-sized chunks is really helpful. Like procrastination, I always say it's a coping mechanism for stress. So sometimes we can associate procrastination with someone being lazy. It's actually not. It's just that discomfort that they're experiencing. But breaking it into small bite-sized chunks just allows you to see, well, what's the next step I could take? It's not about looking and overwhelming yourself with the project or the presentation or whatever you're doing. It's about, okay, what's the one thing that I can do in this moment that will help? And it's just literally breaking it into bite-sized chunks and moving forward in that way. And self-compassion is really important. When you're a procrastinator, sometimes we experience shame, guilt, all of those negative emotions. And we think that if we're experiencing them and we talk to ourselves in a more negative way, that it'll motivate us to get it done. Ah, come on now, you need to get this done, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that negative self-talk won't actually motivate you to do anything. It just doubles down on how you feel about yourself. And so practicing self-compassion, being kinder to yourself, just listening to, God, I am feeling uncomfortable. I wonder what's happening for me here. How do I be kinder to myself with what's going on? How do I move forward with what's going on? And it really is, self-compassion is really fundamental to our overall well-being, not just procrastination, you know. And we tend to struggle with being kinder to ourselves. I bet if I asked all the listeners, you know, how often are you kinder to yourself versus how often do you talk to yourself negatively? And sometimes the way we talk to ourselves, we've never talked to anyone else.
No, it's incredible, isn't it?
It's incredible, you know, and it's about sometimes you need to bring your awareness to that. God, would I speak to my son, daughter, partner in that way?
You wouldn't.
And if you say no, well, then why are you doing it to yourself?
Yeah, and we do it all of the time.
Yeah.
But the other thing too is that we can convince ourselves about stupid stuff. Like, I mean, I used to say, until I became a little bit more aware, I work much better under pressure. That's why I leave things to the last minute. That's a load of nonsense.
Like, yeah.
Nobody works better under pressure.
No,
you know?
Absolutely not. Now, like, when you take that pressure, you're gaining something from it. So if you're telling yourself that you like working under pressure, you're getting something from it. So is it like you're getting the attention because you're able to do tasks under pressure? And they're like, you know, so there's always a gain from when we're saying something to ourselves. It's always something is happening internally that's giving us a reward.
Interesting. You're smiling at me now, you see, because I keep forgetting when I start talking about personal stuff like this that the mics are open, you see. Yeah, that's interesting. So what are we doing? We're putting ourselves forward. Oh, we're great. We can do this in a short time.
And like what we're doing is, you know, we tell people, oh, you know, I just work so much better under pressure. And there's kind of a badge of honor,
about this,
isn't it? Yeah. And there's a badge of honor about, you know, working 70 hours a week, you know, it's like, look at me, I'm here working 15, 20 hours. And it is that ego pulling you in, but for your overall health and well-being, it's absolutely not serving.
It's bad for us, isn't it?
It's bad, yeah. It's not going to serve you. And if you want to live a more fulfilling kind of mentally health, well-being kind of focused life, then looking at these behaviours is so important.
Right. Have you seen somebody able to do something about procrastination? I mean, have you seen them be successful about dealing with this?
Myself. So
it's all coming out now,
Lorna. Absolutely. Like when you get into this type of work, you start to see, God, like I'm a procrastinator. You know what I mean? And I think it's because you're drawn to this type of work because you've started to create awareness around your own behaviours. And you constantly see things in yourself as well. And like struggling, I used to struggle with presentations. You know what I mean? How would I get up and present to people? Sure, I won't know every answer that they're going to ask me. And really, it's about and procrastinating on doing presentations or standing up in front of people. But like the belief that sits beneath that is, where is the expectation that I need to know every single question or answer to every single question that someone's going to ask me? Like, where is that pressure coming from? And so when I started to unpack that belief and really sit with it, it's like, I don't need to be that person. I can be the person who can come back to somebody with an answer to a question I don't know.
And there's no harm in that.
And there's no harm in that. Yeah. But we've created these pressures and we feel like we need to know everything and that, you know, what will people think of me if I can't answer a particular question? And really, it's you're just creating that kind of that sense of self.
But isn't that behind so many of our issues? What will people think of me? You know, when
what will people think is just, you know, from the work that I do, it fundamentally is beneath a huge amount of behavior. What would people think of me if I'm, you know, I work a lot with entrepreneurs as well. And, you know, they're putting themselves out there. They're offering a support to business or like to product or service. And they're like, oh, what will Joe Soap think of me down the road now? They'll think I'm a bit too big for my boots now that I have my own business and now that I'm putting myself out there. And it stops them from doing it. Like they keep themselves small and like they have so much to offer, you know, but it is a belief system and a behaviour that's sitting beneath it. And doing this type of work, you get to sit there and you get to challenge it. It is uncomfortable, as you know, Fran.
I fully know indeed. A listener making a very interesting point, saying, I think it's not answering the phone. It's because subconsciously, you know, that there's an easier way, like texting, messages, email, etc. Years ago, we'd always just answer the phone because we had no other option. That's kind of interesting because you can text and you don't have to sort of engage with somebody. And that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, like when it comes to texting and email, they're fabulous methods of communication and we need them, you know what I mean? It's not, yes, you're not going to be able to navigate phone calls. And I think we've gravitated more towards texting and email now. But a lot of it is around, you know, when you're texting, I suppose you get to choose when to text back.
Yes.
Again.
Yeah.
So like when the phone rings, it's immediate. You have to make a decision in that moment whether to answer or not. Whereas with texts and emails, there's not that pressure. You're like, oh, there's the text coming through. You know, like there's no... And I know people now with WhatsApp can see if you've read it or not, so they're kind of half expecting a response. But you can still like take the time to get comfortable with responding to them in an email and text format.
If you're living with a profound procrastinator, it must be hell because you'll be asking them to do something. Time, will you please do that? And because they'll want to leave it all.
Yeah, and it, like one. I think it's that self-compassion piece as well. They're not doing it to be hurtful or to be unkind to you. They're really struggling with their own emotional well-being. You know what I mean? And to know what sits behind procrastination, like procrastination, as I said, is the behaviour and it's what sits behind it. Like, are they afraid of something? Like, you know, as I said, the perfectionist tendencies, the fear of failing, the anxiety, the stress. Once you start to lean into that space and really say, you know, what's happening for you that you're like struggling with this? Because we've talked about this for, you know, this week and last week and we still haven't progressed on it at all. Yeah. And it's about having those conversations and really leaning into it.
Right, know? But it's important for somebody who is living with a person like that to understand that it is a condition and it's very real to them.
And it's so common. Like, it's so common. We do that because we want to avoid those discomfort and those feelings aren't comfortable as you know.
Yeah.
So when you're leaning into them, it can feel quite anxious, like your nervous system is activated. You can kind of go into fight and flight mode. So you just need to be, I suppose, mindful of.
Right. And when you say leaning in, Lorna, are you talking about addressing them? Is it
leaning
is
into the discomfort? Yeah,
right.
It's a lovely phrase I use quite a bit, and it's about just taking that one step into that discomfort. So if you're kind of sitting there. Most of the time of procrastination, we kind of don't really want to know what sits behind it. But if you ask yourself one question and you get a small little insight, that's leaning into the discomfort.
Okay.
Because the information you're gaining, you can utilise now to develop coping strategies for going forward.
Right. And on the rare occasion that, for instance, if I have a studio task, for example, or whatever, that I spread it out over a period of time, number one, it's done better.
Yeah.
And I don't have that final adrenaline rush and stress and sort of, discomfort and fear. I don't have that then.
Yeah, because you've been dealing with the discomfort as you've progressed by breaking it down into bite-sized chunks. So
it
doesn't go into that overwhelming space or that pressure. And like ultimately, when you'll know you're experiencing procrastination because you'll experience a lot of stress and negative emotion with it. You know,
right.
It pulls you into that mindset.
I love when I get free coaching. It's so important. Lorna, you, of course, coach people, life coaching and the like with PDC. If people want to make contact with you, how can they do so?
Yeah, absolutely. I am on social media and at pdccoaching.com, or my website is pdccoaching.com, and people can drop me an email.
Right. And to play into our conversation, don't put it off.
Don't put it off. Lean into the discomfort.
Lovely to see you, Lorna. Thanks.
Thanks
very much indeed. We'll take a break. Back with
more. If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007. TIP FM's TIP Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.